unrehearsed interview with Mr. Bill Ramsey of Maize Lick, Kentucky, on August 25th, 1988. The interviewer is Lynn David. Now, we just sit here and we can just chat. Mm-hmm. Bill, were you born in Maize Lick?
Yes, it was. Out here on what is now known as the Cecil McCarthy Farm.
Okay, out on 324 towards Flemingsburg.
Yeah.
Off of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's off of. You put throughout the college city, and you go that close to your, right, off of 324.
Yeah, on that curve, on that farm. Uh-huh. And what were your parents' names?
Well, mother's name was Mary Ellen Foley, and Charles Grim Ramsey, Tilly Mary. And I am the third child of this union. Oldest sister, Virginia, she was born in 31 within Maize Lick vicinity. Second sister, Henrietta, she was born in 32 in the Maize Lick neighborhood. And years later, in 1942, my baby sister was born. At Helena.
And what year were you born?
I was born in 34.
You were born in 1934.
Right.
And your baby sister's name is?
Mary Ruth.
Mary Ruth. Mm-hmm. Now, you said you were born on what's the Cecil McCarthy farm. Was your father working for Mr. McCarthy, or?
Yes, he was a tenant farmer at the time, raising tobacco and working about a day, I guess, for him.
As a tenant farmer, did he live on the land there? Did he have a home on the land, or did he work out?
Matter of fact, the cabin, I guess, is still standing in the backyard where we lived.
Right behind the house?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that house back there. That's has a little front porch, two-story house.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know where he stayed there, not too long. I don't even remember living there at all. It's kind of like speaking about the weather. Dad said it was sitting about the day that I was born, so it quit and go to town, which we used a local doctor at the time. I believe it was Dr. Yancey, who lived right here in town, so we came and got him. So,
you were the only boy, huh?
Only boy.
Mm-hmm. Bet your dad was awful proud.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But, three sisters are nice to have, but sometimes you overpowered and...
I'd say you'd been spoiled a lot, were you?
Well, to a certain extent, maybe.
Where do you, first home that you remember you lived in?
After we left there, I don't remember too well, but we moved over on the Finch farm. Jim Finch farm, as a tenant farmer too. Dad was, I guess, might have been about 36, probably, I'm not sure. Yeah. And the first place I can really remember before I really started school was down to, which is now the Powell's farm, ahead of North Park, ahead of the old Sardis Pike, anyway, it is right down there.
No, I don't really know where that is.
Mm-hmm.
Is it down 324 towards Sardis?
No, you're going towards Maysville.
Oh, okay.
Just before you get to North Park.
Yeah.
Before the old highway turns off there.
All right.
And turn to your left and go down there. There was a cabin on that place. We lived there. Well, that was a tenant farmer on that farm as well. And that's where I was when I started school. So...
Now, you went to school in Maize Lick?
Maize Lick, yeah.
How'd you get back and forth to school? That's quite a ways.
Well, they had a bus run at the time, but we rode the bus. And there's quite a few, schools right over here, next to right two doors from where we live now.
Yeah.
It's now the Capital Auction House, but they had, at that time, two buses to run to this black school. One come from the Lewisburg General Neighborhood and Melvin Company side of the county.
So all the black children in Mason County came out here to school then?
Not all of them in this area. There was a black school in Washington. There was a black school in Minerva. That's the only ones in the county, I think. Those three schools, I believe it was, took care. No, see, there's another one. That's Augusta, that's another county. Mm-hmm. Only three here in this county. And this school here only went to the eighth grade. But after the eighth grade, we went to Fee in Maysville, John G. Fee High School. But the county played two Asians with black students to go to that black high school.
So you rode a bus then?
Rode
from
a bus, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite a trip.
That would be for a young man.
Yeah.
Every day, yeah.
I wasn't involved with, but I think the bus driver, he started out, his first passenger he picked up in the mornings. She got on in the wintertime before daylight, and she got off the bus after dark. So, spent almost half as much time on the bus as she did in school.
Yeah.
But,
now, as late as the 30s and 40s, school wasn't mandatory, was it, for all children?
Yes.
It was mandatory mm-hmm. even then.
I think 16, a person could get out, but the truant officer was always around to see where they were, which was a good idea. Yeah. We had to have a truant officer coming home because the parents wanted us to go if any way possible we went. So my older two sisters, my older sister, she failed 1 year in school and they caught up, two of them were together. When they graduated from the eighth grade, they were valedictorian and salutatorian of class.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm. And I graduated.
Are you saying you weren't valedictorian
no.
or salutatorian?
But my younger sister, she graduated in, I'm 60, I think it was last year they had school here at Mays Lake. Well, she went to the integrated school here in town, and she was a valedictorian of that class. So,
your sisters really distinguished themselves in school, didn't they?
Yeah, all right. One sister, two sisters are registered nurses. One's in Cleveland, one's in Louisville. So, it took quite a bit to accomplish those goals, too.
Yeah.
Took the training in Portsmouth between family pitching in here and there. They got them through, so good someone could accomplish something of that nature. It was good fun.
Sounds like your family thought education was extremely important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did your parents go ahead? Did your parents go into school?
Well, they didn't go too much. I think maybe no high school at all, just in grade schools.
If they could read and write.
Oh, yeah.
And they realized that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when your dad was farming and it came time, say, for harvest, did you stay in school or did you help with the harvest?
No, I stayed in school. At the time, when he was really farming, I was too small to be any help to him. But in later years, he devoted most of his time to carpenter work. And so when I got any size, I during the summers and odd times I helped him do carpentry work too. So.
What kind of carpentry work did he do?
Mostly repair on barns and farm buildings, things of that nature. And well, matter of fact, the house we live in right here, we built that.
It's a nice home. It's
yeah, yeah.
Did your dad work for someone else, did he work out of his home by himself?
Worked out of his home. Yeah.
How come he decided to do that instead of staying farming?
I believe he liked it better, to tell you the truth. I liked farming. When he and I farmed for a couple of years, we had a tractor outfit, we had a team of horses, things of that nature. That farm was sold here in town, but he decided we're just going back and do carpentry work altogether. I miss dealing with the material, with the ground, rather. I like to see things grow. Yeah. But, then we help the farmers out, too, in odd times, in winter times, when slack work, or as carpenter was concerned, we strip falco and things of that nature.
So after you got out of high school, did you go on for more schooling, or did you start helping your dad right
there? Well, I worked with him. And at that period of time, through 1952, when I graduated, let's see, I think career and conflict was going on pretty strong right then, so no one knew when it was going to be called or anything. But I was lucky enough to escape that. It was out, but I was drafted in 1956, which I spent 2 years, a little 2 years in the Army.
What did you do in the Army?
I took my basic at Fort Knox, and then I went to Fort Gordon, Georgia, to signal school. And I studied the field radio repair course in there, and was 6 months schooling. So after graduating school, I went to Germany. Spent the remainder of my hitch up in Germany.
Where were you stationed in Germany?
I was stationed at just outside of Stuttgart. The country at that time showed a lot of the marks of the World War II, but I'm hearing now that those wounds are pretty well healed now, and it'd be a different looking country than it was then, but it's good to go in some of those countries and see the culture and how people live. And
were the German people at that time friendly with the American soldiers that were there, or did they?
Yes, they were. They were friendly. I think friendlier then than what they sound like now. Yeah. Seems like there's some hostility, I guess, maybe. I don't know what causes, but bombings of the buildings and attacks on military personnel in different places, but at the time everything seemed very nice.
So you had a good tour of duty?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And after I came back, I spent 2 years in the reserve, just on the meetings weekly and summer camps, things of that nature. But in 1966, that's when I first married. And shortly after marriage, I got a job at Brownings. I worked there for, close to 8 years, I reckon it was. Well, then I went to the power plant, over at Dayton Power and Light. And while over there, I maybe switched jobs time or two there, but I had a layoff, and I got caught in that. So then I was off for about a year before I found anything that well, then I found this job at the First Christian Church, so I've been employed there ever since.
What do you do at the First Christian then?
I'm the janitor.
You're talking about at Maysville?
Maysville, yeah. First Christian Church in Maysville, yeah. I guess to do with everything down there, plumbing, electric work, and
whatever needs to be done.
Whatever needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's not too many people around that can do everything now. No. It's always nice to find somebody that can.
I always tell my son, it's best to learn everything you can, whether you think you're ever going to need it or not. There may come a time you need to fall back on it.
Yeah, that's good advice.
During the period of time when I was laid off, I was drawing on the farm, but I didn't come home and sit down. I went out on the farm, hit my uncle, we fenced, and whatever needed to be done. I fell right in and went on to work. Worked in the hay, worked in the balcony, whatever. Because I was already familiar with that type of work. And some things you can't change, so you just have to go on from there.
Sounds like a good lesson.
It is, yeah. One of the best things that happened, I never will forget though, when I come home from being laid off. First thing my wife said, she said, don't worry, honey. She said, we'll make it because God will take care of us. And that stuck with me from that day clear up to the day, because I knew that she felt that way, and I made my load lots easier knowing that she felt that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what being laid off is pretty devastating. I mean, so. Mm-hmm. Well, especially when it's nothing you've done personally.
Yeah. Lifestyle has changed, but where you can adjust to accept it, that's the main thing, isn't it?
I'm going to take you back a ways. Mm-hmm. When you were growing up as a young boy, do you remember your grandparents?
Yes, my mother, my grandmother on my mother's side, my grandfather on my father's side.
What was your grandmother's name?
My grandmother's name was Mary Ellen Foley. She was a seamstress here in town, so she sold out of her house. And, well, she kept busy, so there was three children in the family, which my mother was the older, and she had the next was a brother named Henry Foley, and the next one was her sister, Virginia Foley Porter, lives here in town, which was a retired school teacher. And Henry, he's a retired from the shoe shop. So,
what do you remember about your grandmother? What memories do you have over that things stand out?
Well, she was never had too much, but she was very conservative. Use what you have wisely, which is a good idea to have, but you should be comfortable near as possible. But sometimes I think she's a little tighter than what she really had to be. But sometimes you don't know what happened in a person's past to make them that way. Mm. Yeah.
Did you spend a lot of time with your grandmother?
Not too much, no. Mm-hmm. But in her later years, she died in 68, I believe it was. She spent 2-3 years here in the house with us before she died. Mm.
Did she ever tell you any stories about what it was like when she grew up?
I don't know of any particular no. But she was her husband was a sharecropper as well too here in the community. And he died at an early age. Left her to three children, so she had raised them herself.
You say sharecropper and tenant. Are those two words interchangeable, or do they mean two different things?
I think it would be the same thing. I think it would be the same thing. I have 2-3 different ways. I think if they let it out, sometimes they rent the whole farm, but most of them work on a percentage, I think. And that's the way we were at the time. They'd raise a crop. And I guess maybe the landlord, I think it's mostly 50-50 what they had when they sold to the Bible. But the other crops were the, all belonged to the landlord, I think, at the time. But most of them, they allowed them to have a cow for milk and hogs for meat and things of that nature. Plenty of place to raise a garden, too. But my grandfather, my dad's side, we never knew him too well because he lived in Maysville. And
what was his name?
James Ramsey. And then, 2 or 3 years before he died, we brought him out here from Maysville, and he lived here, not in the house with us, but close by, so we more or less took care of him too. And that and I was farming at the time, and he come out to where we were if he could, different times. And remember one instant where he came out to, we was weeding the tobacco bed. It was nice, sunshiny, happened to be on a Friday. Can't tell you the date though. But he was looking at the birds and listening, talking, and happened to look up in the tree and there was an old blue jay sitting there. And it was on a Thursday, because he said they won't be here tomorrow. And Dad said, why not? He said, well, said the Blue Jays said to go to hell on Friday for robbing other birds' nest.
I've never heard that one before.
I never heard it before either. So that's one thing I remember him by telling that story.
That's one expression I ever heard.
Well, I think the Blue Jays did rob a lot of the birds' nests, yeah, the eggs, things of that nature. But I never heard of that expressed to it before.
I haven't either. Did your grandpa ever say any other expressions like that, or?
That's the only one that I can think that really stuck with me.
Yeah. Did you look the next day?
Well, yeah, I still still think about it.
Did your grandfather ever talk about how it used to be, or like, say, he was watching you all farm? Did he ever say, "Now, when I farmed, I did it such and such"? Or
yeah, I've heard him speak about farming. Most of generally, then all they did was they grew up the hillsides up, and they plow that, and they would have to use either a team of horses or a team of mules, something of that nature. And it appeared to be everything was done the hard way, but that's all they had to do with it.
Yeah.
And modern machinery came in, nobody knew anything about that then. And when it did come along, the poor man, he wasn't able to have it.
Yeah. Well, farming is expensive.
Yeah.
Has your family always lived around Mays Lick area?
Yes, they have.
How far back can you trace your family? Or have you ever tried?
On my mother's side, I do know her. Her grandparents would be my great grandmother, I guess, was living out here too. And I heard him tell a story about her one time, because that's back then when maybe when cars first come out around about, and she was walking to work out here at Parker's from Mays Lick, and a car came along. It scared her, and she had a heart attack. I think they got her home before she died, though. It just scared her that bad.
Oh, for heavens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Do you remember what her name was?
Henrietta Parker.
Mm-hmm. That'd be sad. I mean, you know.
You know what?
It didn't hit her, though, or anything.
No.
Just came around and scared her.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever hear any other family stories?
Well, like right now, I'm kind of lost of...
Yeah. Well, you know, when families get together for Sunday dinner or something, whether there's some certain stories that were told over and over again, or...
If I had my sister up here, we could probably got some of those things out together.
Really reminisced.
Yeah.
But your family's origins, and as far as Mays Lick, probably go back into slavery time, right?
Yeah, I'd say they would. Yeah,
and,
slavery.
But the family has just stayed here instead of going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I think my grandmother said they had some Indian blood in them. Well, she was had very straight hair and high cheekbones, things of that nature. Yeah. But in those days, you never know who your ancestors were in a way.
Well, a lot of black people, though, have been starting to, since Alex Haley's roots, I think, have been starting to trace their ancestors, and I just wondered if your family had done any of that.
No, we haven't. I know my sister was speaking about someone by the name of Ramsey she had heard of and wrote to us and going to try to trace him down, but I don't wish she ever come up on that deal.
Yeah.
My dad, when, back in the early, maybe in the 20s, before he married, he had some relatives over in New Carlisle, Ohio. I don't know exactly where it is, somewhere near Springfield, probably. I don't know. He visited there a few times, but they were Ramses. But I don't know what relation they were to him.
No one else in the families?
No.
Yeah.
He has a brother in Columbus and a sister in Greenville, North Carolina. I think the brother, he's probably 74 years old or maybe a little above that. His sister, she's up in her 80s. Well, We haven't seen her for quite a while. But she's been in there over 30 years, so history back here wouldn't... Well, I guess she could go back in the memory and pull out a few things, right. But anything... Well, this is not a home anymore.
No, not after 30 years.
No. She had a son, he died 2-3 years ago, and her husband passed too, close to that period of time. So, her husband often said that he wanted to come back to Kentucky to be with the people. So we thought she was going to come. That's back to us making provisions for a place down here for her to stay. But she, I guess she kind of consoled herself and so far has stayed there. We think about it quite a bit, but in the 80s,
it's hard to uproot.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Growing up on a farm like you did as a young boy, what did you kids do for entertainment? How did you and your sisters entertain yourselves? Or did you have time to?
Yeah, we just played among ourselves. We had a tricycle, we had a wagon. And especially when my dad would be out on the farm there. After he plowed his ground, he used a drag to rub it rough part down before they used a cutting hair on him, which was made out of heavy timbers, and they hooked that team of horses to it and pulled across there and kind of smoothed it down. And I remember many times we'd be out there and we'd ride on that drag with him and come out of there, we just looked like the dust. Well, so you kids done got all dirty, so we had to throw some tub of water before we come in.
You say your mother wasn't too thrilled with you guys?
No. Dad, we had the team of horses, and we always liked to ride the horses. Mm-hmm. And he'd be out in the field a lot of times, maybe with one horse, plowing. Say it's getting close to noon, I'll get to ride in to the house on the team. It's the time you're on the horse, but the time he got back out to the inn, he would be standing. So he'd put all three of us on the horse, and he'd walk in leading the horse.
Yeah. So the drag was something that was homemade? I mean, it wasn't anything that you went out and purchased?
No, it was homemade, yeah.
And it was just a big log?
It was made out of maybe like 4 railroad ties, or 3 of them, with pieces holding together.
Mm-hmm.
And that dirt would kind of come up between them, and then he'd ride on that there.
And that'd break up the bigger clods?
Yeah, break up the bigger clods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard of it. Did you all celebrate holidays when you were growing up?
Thanksgiving and Christmas was the two biggest holidays, but as far as 4th of July, things of that nature, might be a little gathering, but not too much, because you'd be out. Maybe necessary to do it that period of time, so it was just another work day.
How did you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Most generally, here at the time, they had a community Thanksgiving dinner at the school. And maybe the PTA and all of them get together and they'd have that. And then a lot of times at the school, they'd have a play.
What kind of a play?
What we call it, a drama or what? The school kids would all be the characters in it. And, well, we had plays maybe 2 or 3 different times a year. Maybe we always have a closing school play and one at Thanksgiving. I don't think they had one at Christmas, but maybe they did. And
what was the name of the school?
Maystick Elementary.
Christmas time, did you all have a Christmas tree?
Yes.
Did you buy it, or?
No, always cut it. And I know I remember sometimes that we'd have a mother pop popcorn. You know, I can see her now taking a big needle. I mean, she let us have her, she would string his popcorn on his string and group it around the tree. Maybe we'd have some ornaments. We'd have a few bought ornaments that we'd have from year to year, and then something we'd make, we'd hang it on a tree. Whatever we had, she'd let us put it on there.
That was pretty though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the most fun of those things comes from creating something on your own, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I remember one year in particular, there was a hedge, not a hedge, but a, what do you call it? This tree had little red berries on it. We gathered a bunch of them and strung them on a string too. I can hang them things, huh? But that added color to the tree,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you all hang stockings up?
Yeah, always hung up stockings.
What would you find in your stockings?
A lot of times it'd be a candy cane and some kind of small, something small. But well, if we got one gift, we were lucky and we were thankful because it just wasn't enough to go around what they have today.
Yeah.
I think they have too much now as far as fruit and things like that is concerned. Our candy is something we don't have, didn't have it daily. If you had candy once or twice a year, Boston candy, you were pretty lucky then.
Yeah.
Mother would make homemade fudge, we'd have some of that.
Yeah.
And she'd have the custard, things of that nature she'd make out there. And everything else to put on, anything that grew, she put it in a jar, because there wasn't no such thing as a deep freeze, but apples and peaches and all those kind of things. There's quite a few of those things on the farm, some trees around. So, person could learn to live off nature and live pretty reasonable.
You never felt like you went without anything?
No, no, we never went without. I don't know how parents felt sometimes, but sometimes he was making, I know one particular time he was making like $30 a month as a deadhand on the farm. And you don't go for far at that.
Did he have to pay rent on the house then? Or
no, I don't know, there was no rent on it. Mm-hmm.
$30 a month with four children.
It was three at the time, but my mother was expecting the fourth child. And she was going back and forth to the doctor, I think. For a while there, it was, that doctor was $5 a week, which come out of that, so it cut your living down pretty low, didn't it?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sure did.
He was saying she had a tumor, which wound up a baby sister.
That was a surprise. I'd have changed doctors, I think.
Yeah.
Real quick. So your mom did what, she canned about everything that you had?
Yeah.
Did you all kill your own meat then, or?
Yeah, I always had, beef, not beef, but pork. I don't know, beef seemed like it was something that you didn't hear too much about that back then. But, I think most of them had one or two hogs a year.
Did your folks buy your clothes, or did your mother make them for you?
Well, I had an aunt that was a seamstress. She sold sometimes. We always, and we'd buy, they'd buy our clothes for us. We have, just had to take care of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or as having the closet full, you didn't have it.
Did your folks ever talk about how it had been when they were growing up as young children?
It basically was similar to what we had, yeah. Everything was pretty close.
Did they ever tell you how they met?
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
I guess they went to school, must have went to school here together too, because Dad went to school in Maze Lake and so did my mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They didn't marry until, I think both of them were 30, 31 years old when they married.
So your parents were quite a bit older than most of the parents of
your
children.
Mm-hmm.
Did this make a difference, or? you think, or?
No, I don't think so. No.
Now, were your parents raised in the Baptist church here?
Right, both of them were.
So a church played a important, did it play an important part of your growing up? Or?
I think so. Because even at as a kid, we know we was going to Sunday school whether we wanted to or not. But then it become a part of you.
I take it there was days you didn't want to go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you said that, I had a feeling that you might have given him some trouble some days.
Well, we know it doesn't say anything, but we went.
On Sunday, you were going to church whether you liked it or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did your dad have a car or a horse and wagon? How did you get back and forth to church?
He had a car.
What kind of car was it?
At one time he had a, I think it was a Dodge. One of these old cars with big round headlights sitting up on the fender. Mm-hmm. Things. I don't remember it too well, but he had an old truck. In later years he had trucks most of the time. Mm-hmm. But from late 40s we lived here in walking distance of town, so sometimes he had a vehicle and sometimes he didn't. Mm-hmm. But during World War II he had a truck. It broke down. He bought him a bicycle. He used that to go back and forth to work. And matter of fact, I still got the bicycle here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And all three of his kids learned, all four of us learned to ride on it.
One of those big heavy ones, wasn't it?
One of those, it was a swing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With a little small car and stuff on it.
What did your folks do for entertainment when you were growing up? Did they?
There wasn't too much entertainment. They had a battery-powered radio. And most places we lived, they had no electric. And they didn't play that battery constantly. And he'd turn on, get the news, and they listened to it. Cato, Tabernacle, Indianapolis, Indiana, a few different programs they listened to. Mother had some programs she listened to during the day, but trying to think whether we got the local newspaper or not. I don't remember that. Probably didn't, because when you're cutting corners, that'd be one of the things that would go.
Oh, yeah. What kind of a stove did your mother cook on?
She used a coal stove. Coal and wood, too. We used mostly coal, I think.
And you say you didn't have any electricity then?
No.
So what, kerosene?
Kerosene
lamps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that made your long winter nights even longer, because it seemed like the house, well, you got used to it, I reckon, but say 9 o'clock, you'd be going to bed. There was no TV to look at or anything. Kids, we'd get our lessons early. And have him out of the way. And, I think it's 1949 we moved in our first house with electric.
I bet your mom was pleased, wasn't
she? Yeah. We getting to pick up a few electrical appliances. Yeah. I think, as a matter of fact, the first refrigerator they have is still here on the place and it's still running.
You know, I've talked to some other people that have some of the first ones and they're still running.
Yeah.
People around here seem to have taken good care of
mm-hmm.
whatever they had
mm-hmm.
and really.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 1952 when they got that. And I have it in the back house down here and we put stuff in all the time. A lot of things we want to keep there and bring it on down there.
When you were growing up, did you remember the Franklin twins? Were they around your age or older? Or?
I'm about a year older than the Franklin twins.
That's Herbert and...
Herbert and Herman.
Herman, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we were good friends. I guess what I'd say with the church association, too, maybe it's been much closer.
Yeah.
We all went to church here together, Sunday school and whatever.
Now, they went on to school, didn't they?
Yeah. They went to... Frankfort, we would call it school at birth. Anyhow, I went to a school in Frankfort. both see the degrees, and then I think they even went further than that. I guess what grade, what ranks they do have now, what the degrees they have. Both of them are teaching, I think.
You know where they're teaching? Last I heard, one was at Tuskegee and one was at University of Florida.
Well, they've changed since then. Herman's up in New Jersey, I think it is, man. Herman's in Dayton.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. Dayton, Ohio.
Does he ever come back here?
Yeah. He was here this summer.
Was he?
So one of the funerals might have been Geneva Jackson, I think, for those years down here.
When you were growing up and listening to other people talk around you, did you ever hear anything about an underground railroad going through Maeslick during the Civil War?
No, I didn't.
Did you ever hear stories about a town that after the Civil War, a lot of the blacks moved out someplace on 324 and formed their own town? Did you ever hear anything about something like that?
No.
Strike two. I had heard that, you know, that they had formed a community outside, and I can't seem to find out too much about it.
And that's the first I've heard of anything of that nature. All the Underground Railroad I've heard of was around about Ripley, wasn't it?
Yeah, or the Rankin House. But I've heard some stories that maybe there was, you know, people here in this area, and I thought maybe that story. Have you ever heard anything about a hanging of a Mr. Grant out on 68?
Yes. I heard him speak of that, yeah.
Can you remember what you heard?
I'm not sure. I heard him often was. They've showed me the place where he lived, or where the hanging took place, I think. Was it on a farm somewhere or another? And where facts were, they accused him, I think, of maybe raping a girl or something of that nature. Where it actually happened, I don't know. But in those days, whatever she said went anyhow, so. And you were just guilty, and hanging was the next thing, would be.
Yeah. Have you personally, now you've grown up during the time of segregation and the time of integration. Have you noticed a change in both black attitudes and white attitudes over the years? Or?
It's a lot of people have changed, and a lot of them haven't changed.
Has it been easier for you over the years? Has life been easier for you?
As far as finding employment, yeah, it's easier. A lot of places have opened up. I remember one incident they were speaking of, a black man who attended on one of Browning Farms. He's always asking about hiring some black plant down there. Oh, say they won't work. You get them in, they won't be there on Monday. He said, if you don't come on Monday, he said, what do you do with a white man if you don't come on Monday? He said, I'll fire him. He said, you do him the same way. And so that's all that we want now. Any other time, just be treated equal in that respect. If I don't live up to my contract, I feel like I should receive the same punishment as the next man. But I don't want to receive more. But, I think things are better in that respect than it used to be. And
when they integrated the schools, now you were of school age at that time.
I graduated before the school.
It was your younger sister.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
She was in it, yeah.
Was there any problems in Maeslick with integration, or did it?
They had a few uprisings, but nothing major, no.
Among the school children or among the adults?
I think it was among the school children. That went on. I was in the Army at the time when they integrated here, so all I heard was a little hearsay here and there, different things.
it was the Army. The Army, to a certain extent, was segregated, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you notice a change in the Army?
When I went in, it was integrated, but some places that when you always find maybe a group here and a group there, and on your own time, you associate who you want to, maybe who would accept you, but yeah, there was a difference. There's a lot of good people in there. I have a good friend now, lives in Pennsylvania. And I've been out over 20 years, and he still writes to me. And a few years ago, we went up to visit him.
Was this a black friend or
a white man?
White friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Mays Lick itself, there just didn't seem to be any problems then. Everything couldn't have been just... Was everything always sweetness and light before integration?
No, I say it wasn't, no. I've heard lots of stories about different things, as far as Knight Riders and the Ku Klux Klan and all those kind of things, but...
Was the Klan active around Maslow?
Not in my day, no. It has been, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, from what I hear it was, yeah. As a matter of fact, I heard one story about it before the hanging was concerned. One family being here in town was going to go to this hanging. His wife might have been one for Brent, one you speak about earlier, that she told him, if you go, when you come back, your bag will be sitting on the step. I don't want nothing to do with you no more. He changed his mind. He didn't go. And I said most of them that took part in that had some kind of a violent death. Or things come back to you, or maybe I'm just going to be there waiting, but you never know.
You think that was a Klan hanging then?
I'm not sure what it was.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a Klan, because I don't think these people at this point were wearing any sheets or anything. But,
was your dad ever bothered by the Klan?
No, not that I know of.
Or any of your family ever?
I think most of that was several years before, maybe even my parents' day, back in the early, maybe around the early 1900s, something like that.
You mentioned the Knight Riders. Have you ever heard any stories about the Knight Riders?
I've heard a few stories, but not enough to really repeat them. I don't even really know what they did. I think they more or less kind of drive fear into people. And probably succeeded, might be killed some people, I imagine, I don't know.
Yeah.
When it comes down, anything runs for its own life, doesn't it?
Well, you got it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were growing up around Mays Lick, is there any person that stands out in your mind, somebody that you really remember as a young boy or young man? Somebody that made a big impression on you, or a small one?
Well, yes, there's been several that you eat for as a principal we had here in the school, was Charlton Fields. He was here at the time when we started the Boy Scout troop. He'd go back and forth from Maysville to Mays Lick once a week and picked up boys all over the county. And we went to school here and had a Black Scout troop here. And
what year was that? Remember?
I think it started about 1948. And that went on. We had a troop here until way up in the 50s, the rhythm was. We had 5 or 6 years, probably more.
He was quite some man. I've heard other people talk about him.
And this was all done on his time at his own expense. And he was there because then my dad, he was on it, one of the board members, and several others here in town was on it too. Before it was all over, I was one of the Junior Scout Masters. We often speak about the trips we made to Camp OEO up here towards Portland, where you school up at the Cal Camp and all that nature.
Kids probably really loved it, didn't they?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And the camperies. We had some camperies around here in different times. Dad had an old big truck, and he'd load them all up, and we'd go different places to spend the night out. Maybe some of them sleep in the tent, and some of them wouldn't.
Tell ghost stories?
Yeah. They said they hear something. I think one time they heard something out there at night, and it turned out to be just somebody, big old dog running around out there, see what he could find.
Wouldn't be a camping trip without ghost stories.
No. First camper we went on, one of the boys in there, he even took his pajamas.
You know that child hadn't camped.
No, he hadn't.
Speaking of ghost stories, did you ever hear any ghost stories growing up as a kid? Anybody ever scare you with any?
I've heard them, yeah. I hear some of them speak up and down, but I didn't really see anything or feel anything, so...
What'd you hear?
They used to say there's a place out here on the highway that's passed by a certain night there, you get to feel hot flashes. Hot air would hit you. You don't know what it was, but...
Where? You know, where was it?
That was out here on 324. By Parker, between Parker's and Clark's Farm, somewhere down that hill out there, before you get up to where, before Rob's Farm was, yeah. Anyhow, out in that neighborhood.
You just feel something hot,
yeah.
On the road.
Mm-hmm. But in most cases, there was a reason for, if you took time to investigate it. I know my dad said one time, there was no street lights here in town. They'd spend the time loafing around the general store at night, and there's a blind man here in town. You've ever heard of Taylor White?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go up there and spend the night. He had no pistol. I think he had it with him at night there, and he was starting back out home. He heard this noise, and he couldn't see nothing. And finally, I don't know where, it was a mole over in that ditch trying to dig through some concrete down in the weeds and in the leaves and stuff. Bro. That's what it was. He didn't shoot at anything, but... He finally found out who it was before he ran.
I think I'd have run.
Yeah.
Oh. Remember any others?
One time he was speaking about a lady over to Helena. It's another tender foreman been out there to the store or where the railroad track is.
Mm-hmm.
And they was talking about seeing a ghost or whatever they thought was. But, he found his coat where it was that night. It was certain light was coming someplace and it was casting their own shadow. So they was, really they were running from their own shadow.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't get too far from your own shadow, do you?
No. There's been a lot of ghost stories about that road toward Helena.
Yeah.
I wonder why that particular road. And I go down that at night sometimes.
No.
Okay. I think a lot of these ghost stories originated during slavery, more or less to keep the slaves at home.
Well,
tell them something other than, well, you take now. If you tell your kids something other, they'll stay home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So will their mothers and fathers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of mothers and fathers, when did you all get married then?
Well, Minnie's my second wife. We've been married 10 years, haven't we?
10 years.
Yeah. First wife, she died when my son was 8 years old.
What was your first wife's name?
Mary Catherine.
What
Ramsey.
Ramsey. Mm-hmm. What was her maiden name?
Jones.
Jones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You all have been married 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's great.
She's not a native of this section of town. She's from Scott County.
Mm-hmm. Got an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
Brought her home. Mr. Ramsey, I appreciate you talking to me tonight. I've enjoyed it. And we'll leave on this outsider coming in here to the big city of Maze Lake.